Sessionable.
Welcome to Sessionable. It's just me as your host today. Tom, that's me. But I'm here with two awesome guests, longtime friends of the podcast, Aaron and Ben from Creek and Cella, and also Bit of Few. So, Aaron, we've had you on the podcast before 2 years ago, it was.
Yeah, with Jay.
With Jay, yeah. That was a lot of fun. And actually, I think last time I looked at the stats, it was like one of our top three episodes in terms of how many people downloaded it. So
yeah, I have a big family.
Yeah. So. And Ben, you you used to work at Bit of Few, and now you're pretty much based here at Creek and Cella.
Yeah, I've been working with Aaron at Bit of Few since almost since it opened.
Since, yeah.
But now I've been back over at Creek and Cella for the last 6 months since we opened up over here.
Yeah, awesome. I thought we'd just quickly touch on how Bit of Few is going. For those who haven't listened to the episode we did 2 years ago, Bit of Few is an awesome craft beer bar pretty much in the heart of Sydney in Darlinghurst. I know it's my favourite haunt. And I'm not the only person on the podcast that feels that way. But how's it been going since we last spoke to you?
I think I'd have to re-listen to the episode to find out actually what we talked about. I feel like so much has changed in 2 years. But, I mean, behind the scenes for us, we feel like a lot's changed. But obviously on the surface, maybe it's different for you guys. But, yeah, I mean, everything's going really well. We've definitely moved with what I suppose you want to call the times. We're definitely more focused on farmhouse and sour beers now. Not to sort of take away what we were doing, but we've just, I think the customer has allowed us to experiment more, which has been awesome. So more people are coming in, which means we can put on more experimental beers. The more support those beers get, the more experimental we can get, and the more rarer beers we can get in as well.
So how long has Creek and Cella been here, and what is Creek and Cella? What's the...
So the concept for Creek and Cella has actually been around for a couple of years. On some level, Bit of Few was probably meant to be part of that, but I don't think the space allowed it. And in a weird way, it's probably luckily it didn't, because it's sort of carved its own niche market out now.
Yep.
So we opened up about probably 6 months ago. The concept is kind of a place for all. I mean, I don't want to sort of simplify it too much, but the idea that someone could have a wine, beer, cocktail, and some food and not feel excluded.
I think I did all four of those the other night.
I think the idea of like, if you just have this image of a couple of friends talking about which bar they're going to go to next, and there's always one or two people who don't want to go somewhere because maybe the beer isn't right, or maybe the wine isn't good, or maybe the cocktails are not there, or whatever it happens to be. And I feel like this is the place that kind of embodies the idea that you don't need to think, you can just turn up and you know you'll get a good drink, good food, and obviously a bar-like setting. So
yeah, nice. And how's it been going?
First 3 months were interesting. We opened up just before Christmas, so we almost had to open and close again, which is always the most annoying part of the year. But look, it's been growing, and that's the main thing. And the response is more or less 100% positive. So I'd say, yeah, the groundwork's been laid now, and now we're just sort of pushing forward. There's been a few sort of tests that we've kind of put out, some events and things like that, which I thought would work that didn't work. But I think we're starting to find our feet with the events that are working and the events that are people are responding to. We do have one on tonight, which I think will be one of those events.
Yeah.
So that's the Chimay event, which we're lucky enough to have a couple of kegs of the Chimay Blue, which hasn't been on tap in Australia for at least 10 years, to my knowledge. And also Chimay Cheese as well, coming out as well. So just perfect timing, really.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the Chimay Cheese.
Yeah, so we've got the Chimay Rouge washed cheese. And then the Chimay Blue on tap.
Yeah, so. Yum. Yeah, so I think you've done a great job of having that sort of really inclusive space that everyone can come drink what they want, eat what they want. I've been here for a few events. You did a great beer-matched dinner with 2 Meter Tall.
Yep, so back in January.
Yep. Do you want to talk about that a bit? That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I mean, Ash from 2 Meter Tall and I have been sort of, we can call ourselves friends now, I think. We've been talking for sort of, you know, a few years now. And in some weird way, he's kind of, as he's emerged into the market, we have at the same time. So as he's grown, so we obviously liked his beers back before they weren't popular. And I think in respect to himself, he's understood that we were a good supporter from the start. So we've been planning that type of event for probably a few years now, but we didn't obviously have the space to do it. And probably for him as well, I don't think he had the platform to host an event like that before. He's definitely done beer dinners before where he's done matching, but not to the extent where he was so included in the process. Like the food was brought up from Tasmania, mostly on carry-on luggage with his family. Him and his family prepared the dinner. We sat down and we talked through the process several times over a few months. And I think that is an idea of two people from two different backgrounds, from obviously the hospitality side, which is us, and from the producer side, who actually physically work together to produce the event. I don't think that really ever happens. Not very often anyway. So yeah, so it was pretty special.
Yeah, it was a really cool concept for an event, because as you said, mostly beer dinners are beer from one or more sources and then the food from the in-house sort of thing. But it was really cool to have them so linked,
we're really trying to push that from, that providence almost, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like the benchmark, on some level anyway, where the guy making the beer and the food and physically just doing everything. I mean, I think that's an experience in itself.
Yeah. Ben, I know you're probably the guy who's here all the time, right?
That's me, man on the ground.
Because yeah, Aaron, you run around between what, these two venues and your third venue a bit?
80%
less
here.
So the third one?
80% here. Yeah. 20% between the other two, which hopefully that'll slowly change in the coming
even
weeks.
Out. Yeah. Yeah. But I wanted to have a talk. I know this is a beer podcast, but one of my favorite things about this place is the wine list and the cocktail list. And I know, Ben, you had a pretty big hand in the wine list. Do you want to talk through the kind of what the concept is there and what stuff we have there?
Yeah. So I think for me, what I wanted to do with the wine list here is similar to what we do with the beer list a bit of few. So it's keeping it interesting. It's keeping it like high rotation. And then getting wines that other people might not necessarily be ordering or buying, and just to get access to those wines to people. So you walk into a bottle shop, it's kind of hard for you to spend $40, $60, $80 on a bottle of wine that you really don't know what it's going to taste like.
Yeah.
So we can put those kinds of quirky, weird wines on here, and really get people exposure to that. So most of the wines we have here, I'd say close to 90% of them are organic and biodynamic. So all of the wines are natural wines. So we're trying to find wines where the winemaker is using as little interference as they can with the fruit. So they're picking the fruit, they're putting it in a barrel, and they're letting the fruit do the talking. So it's all wild ferment, very little additions of sulfur, if any, in a lot of them. And you really get expressions of fruit and expressions of place that you don't really get in larger commercial wines. So we think that's really interesting, and I've definitely found the reception to people follow on from that, and they seem to be engaging with that kind of practice.
Yeah, I alluded to it earlier. The other night I came in here and I got stuck into the wines pretty hard. I do every time I come here.
It's... Yeah, we do. We had I believe we had a pet nat last night.
We had
a rosé pet nat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so a pet nat is a wine that is put into the bottle before it's finished fermenting, and it will continue to ferment inside the bottle and then self-carbonate itself while it throws yeast and lees all throughout the bottle.
Yep.
So you end up with this cloudy, really kind of interesting, almost sour beer cross with a sparkling wine.
Yeah, and quite dry, I found it. Yeah.
Quite dry, yeah.
It was really tasty. I remember, I think, when you first opened up, I came in and you gave me a bit of a tour of the wine list.
Mm-hmm.
I was... the next morning was pretty interesting, to say the least. Yeah.
Is that any different to any other morning?
Well, not when I'm at one of your venues.
Okay,
but, yeah. Which is most...
It's more special.
Yeah, most nights. So, you've got these two venues, or two quite different, but they still kind of carry on. They've got a similar sort of atmosphere and vibe, a really nice, relaxed, friendly sort of place to come and sit at the bar and have a drink and bring your mates. How do you think they fit into sort of what's going on in and around Sydney and the rest of Australia in terms of the beer and hospitality markets?
Yep. I mean, just to sort of touch on the wine thing as well, just to sort of finish off what Ben was saying. I mean, I was just having the conversation with somebody the other day. I can't remember who it was. It might have even been you. I'm not even sure.
I mean, very possibly.
But some of these natural wines now, the crossover is so close now. Like, some of these wines are tasting almost lambic-like. So, I mean, really, it is a continuation of not bitter few specifically, but just that idea of coming from the other side where the wine is let to sing, allowed to sing. And obviously some of the beers that we focus predominantly on at bitter few are of a similar variety. So anyway, just sort of finish off on that.
No, that's,
But so specifically, I suppose this venue, I mean, I can't speak for Australia wide because I haven't been everywhere, but I feel pretty confident that what we are doing here is pretty unique and definitely is, I would say, comfortably something that isn't really been, I mean, I think some people have tried to do it, but they do the whole thing, the separation thing.
Yeah.
You know, the kitchen does one thing, the bar does a completely opposite thing. whereas Web, it's very seamless. Everything kind of flows in and out. The charcuterie, the cheeses, the beers, the wine, it's all thought.
Yep.
And there is a link and we do push through that. So I suppose like even, yeah, like I said, I struggle to think of a place or a similar location that would be doing what we're doing. So, I mean, yeah, it is highly unique that we are seamless across every section of the venue. I mean, this venue specifically, it's a lot larger than Bitterfew, but the idea being that you can come here, relax, have, you know, something really well put together in the food sense, or quite simple in the sense of like charcuterie or cheese, but still experience that without feeling like you're in a, you know, white linen table setting. You can still bring a bunch of mates and still have a couple of beers and not feel like, you know, you have to make a booking 3 months in advance. Don't get me wrong, that would be amazing, but that's not the concept. The concept is meant to be that European style bar restaurant where people do turn up, meet friends and have something kind of in the background, which just happens to be cheese and meats and a few snacks and whatever else. And kind of coming back to that thing of like a place for all, you aren't having to think about like looking at the menu and going, shit, what am I going to have? You just know the wine will be good. You know the beer will be good. You know the cheese will be good. You know the meats will be good. And you know the menu will be good. So it's just like, I suppose the conversation almost starts to happen organically as well. And I think that's in a weird sort of way, that's what the venue represents. You become seamlessly part of the venue, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of the atmosphere here and at Bitterfew is derived from kind of the people you get in, and they kind of it's a bit of a cycle, you know. They contribute to the atmosphere and make it what it is. Maybe I'm saying that because I'm there all the time.
No, I completely agree. I mean, Bitterfew.
Part of the furniture,
I mean, part of the furniture. I think I don't really does it any justice. I think part of the furniture is kind of like that old Cheers atmosphere thing.
Where everybody knows your name.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I look at, when you cast your eyes across Bitterfew and I see, you know, say 50 people in that bar, and knowing that 2.5 years ago these people didn't know each other and now they all know each other, I think is testament to that kind of concept.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's definitely not part of the furniture. I think it's intrinsic, and I think it's, yeah.
Do you think you'll see more venues trying to do this sort of style across Sydney? Or do you think people are going to copy you? Because I know
how cocky do you want me to be?
We don't have to include this if you.
No, it's fine. I think talking about Bitterfew specifically and knowing how much work goes into that bottle list and tap list, without sort of naming hours, it is almost a full time job for me to do that and to manage that.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because it obviously removes me from the bar sometimes. But it is a full-time job, and I think an extension of that is with this venue, and I will get around to answering, I suppose, that question, is that to run the level of like the work that Ben puts into the wine list, the beer list, look, obviously it's probably a little bit autopilot for us because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier, but the wine list is definitely a lot of hard work. The cheese and the meats are a lot of hard work, and I think that rotation element, I don't want to simplify it, but it's a lot of work, and to copy that, I think, is almost not doing it the right amount of justice. I think, like, we do put a lot of hours behind the scenes that a lot of places either A, don't have the opportunity to do, or B, just can't be bothered, or whatever you want to call it. I don't want to sort of name it, but
So
I suppose answering the question, the idea behind it is that I hope that the work behind the scenes does shine through.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when I walk into some venues that have maybe emulated, whether it's Bitterfew or here, or whether they copies in the future, there's still large holes built, and, you know, maybe the cocktail list isn't as good, or maybe the wine list isn't as good.
Yeah.
Or maybe you go back 3 weeks later and it's exactly the same as it was 3 weeks ago, which is fine. It's just, that's not the concept.
No, so, of course. Yeah.
So I suppose, copying, I feel is hard as opposed to, whether people will do this. I mean, obviously I want this concept to take off. I think it's a great concept. Copying, I think it's just too hard. It's so many man hours behind the scenes that people don't really appreciate until you physically break it down.
Yeah. Bitterfew is located in an incredible location. It's, you know, in the middle of Oxford Street, right near the city. It's super easy to get to from pretty much anywhere around inner Sydney. And I think that's a big part of its charm and a big part of why I love to go there so much. Creek and Cellar is not in as central a location. You're out in Leichhardt. which is just, you know, in the middle of the inner west, basically, and a bit further out from the central city. How have you found that that's affected it? Has it been a bit of a challenge, or are you engaging the locals a bit more?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely, like, I suppose there's two arguments or two answers. Yeah, there's a challenge with that, where you don't have that kind of default customer base where you do when you've got the CBD location. I mean, we were trying to focus on more of a when I say regional, as in city regional location, because it does give you the idea. I mean, there's some obvious answers. It's the rent is cheaper out here. So a
larger space,
you know, coming back to that thing about quid bit a few could have been like this. Maybe bit a few wouldn't have existed because the rent would have been so expensive and we wouldn't have been able to pull it off. So I suppose in some ways, the cheaper rent allows us to be a lot more experimental with functions and events like that we do hold here. In saying that, I mean, we definitely are more focused on locals. We want to be a local haunt. I mean, coming up with a location, it wasn't specific, didn't specifically have to be Leichhardt. Leichhardt does have a lot of thoroughfare traffic. It just, the area isn't used to the idea of a place like this existing, I suppose, is probably the easiest way. But again, maybe nowhere in Sydney does either, so it's kind of like...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And the only way they get used to it is by having it, right?
Exactly, and turning up and obviously experiencing it. So, I mean, So I think we were talking about earlier, people that do come in here, and once they experience it, know that, like, they're almost 100% satisfied. Like, it's just that idea of, like, they had a seamless night, and there was no hiccups, whatever you want to call it. And I'm not talking about the service or anything like that. I'm just talking about the idea of the concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you look at some of the other regional city locations like, you know, Summerhill, Marrickville, even to bring up Wayward Brewery, things like that, like, you know, places like these didn't exist in their locations before. So are they popular now because of their location, or are they popular now because they've brought people to the area? Yep. So, I mean,
I think Marrickville's a really good example.
Prime example. I mean, I can comfortably say that, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I can comfortably say 3 years ago, I would never have gone out to Marrickville unless I was going for Vietnamese.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
And now that's completely changed.
And now
so.
you can spend a whole day wandering around and still miss different breweries. And
yeah,
you
know. Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, Marrickville alone's changed astronomically in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So I suppose, look, there is some level of, like, trying to be in the right spot at the right time. I mean, that's trying to pick the share market. Like, you just can't do it.
It's
sometimes you got to invest, and it's like you invest now and then the people will come. I mean, even Bitterfew had trouble for its first year as well, in the sense of no one was used to a beer bar outside of the tap house or the Royal Albert. And then 2 years later, you kind of now don't think of anything else but Bitterfew or the tap house or Royal Albert. Like, it's always in the top three kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose moving forward with Creek and Cellar, what I would like when we hit that 1 year mark is that it becomes a place where you go, oh, where do you go when you're around this area, Leichhardt, Annandale, Petersham, Five Dock? I mean, Creek and Shell is just, that's the only place you go.
Yeah.
So, and that's a large catchment area.
Sessionable break time, which is a great time to tell you that this episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, who provide a whole bunch of awesome beer related services, including brewery tours, walking tours, and events packages. On the 1st of July this year, they're running a super exclusive bus tour from Sydney all the way down to Bright Brewery's Darker Days Festival, and we will be on it. There are still a few tickets left, but they are super limited, so don't miss out. Direct link to that in the show notes, and you can check out more from Dave's at daves.com.au. Okay, back to the show.
Okay, well, we're back. We're going to probably wrap it up pretty soon. Before we get into recommendations, I think we'll plug the event.
I feel
Chimay
like
event a bit more.
It deserves its justice. I mean.
So you said you've got Chimay Blue on tap.
Yes,
which is
that's
very
right.
Exciting.
Then we've got their Patters beer, which as well, I don't know the exact facts, but I believe it's also fairly recently entered Australia as well, just in the bottle. It will be available soon.
It's the Doré, is it?
The Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be available tonight as well. But yeah, I mean, I suppose just to plug Chimay in general, I mean, they're pretty secretive. They keep things pretty tight to their chest. So, I mean, yeah, to be allowed to pour their blue is kind of a bit of an honour. And also the fact that they're releasing their gold as well, I think, is testament to the industry in Australia now.
I think Chimay is a brewery that a lot of people hold quite dear. I know for a lot of people, it can be their epiphany beer or one of those beers that make them go, wow. Blue or red or, you know, and even the gold is yummy. It's like 3.5% or something?
The gold is 4.5, I think.
Four and a half? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the monk's beer, so to speak. It's the one they drink when they don't want to get drunk.
It's like a Belgian blonde with a big sort of yeast character. I find, definitely. It's really tasty.
Yeah, that's right. You were drinking with me. I did
have a taste of it the other day. I've had it before, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but you can get it, but it's just not wildly available. Yeah.
And that's yummy. So, and the cheese is something I've always wanted to try. So
yeah, so we've got obviously the Rouge. I managed to sneak some this morning.
Yep.
On
your avocado toast?
Yeah, on my avocado. No. It was earlier than that. That was breakfast. Yeah. I think it's an experience. I think I mean, I'm a bit of a fan of that whole idea of everything coming from the same location, because the flavors do have an element of complementary flavors, whatever you're going to call it. And I feel like Chimay is kind of doing that by the cheese and the beer. Yeah.
Yep. During our break, I warned these two that we were going to do some recommendations. So we can, start off with doing our beer recommendations, or it doesn't have to be beer. I think, Ben, you said you've got a...
I think the wine needs to be plugged.
Yeah, they've certainly got a wine recommendation ready to roll.
You're
live, Ben.
Yoma just released their autumn wines. So we've grabbed three of them. We grabbed their Shiraz Rosé, their Grenache, and their Shiraz. So they're based in McLaren Vale. And they have absolutely no additions to their wine. So they're not adding preservative. They're adding absolutely nothing. So it's pure expression of the fruit. I tried the Grenache the other day, and it's to die for. 14%. So it definitely packs a punch for a McLaren Vale Grenache.
Yep.
But still like lovely juicy berry fruits up front, but it still has this really tight structure. Good drink for days.
Yum.
And does.
Yeah. You've got do you have a drink, a beer, cocktail, a wine?
I think we've got you told me I could do a TV show and a beer. So.
Oh, well, that's the non-beer recommendation. Oh, non-beer. That's the next round.
So beer. Yeah. I feel pretty comfortable saying Wildflower is the thing on everyone's lips at the moment.
I was about to say that as well.
Yeah. So, but I feel like it's highly representative of what Creek and Cellar is, that idea of, I'll assume you've all tried it, and it is that lovely go between wine, beer, and food. It is, stunning beer.
I went to the blendery, the fermentatorium.
Blendery, yeah.
Yep. Last weekend, got to, cause I didn't get to go, when the boys went to interview Topher for the podcast. So it was for my first time there, had a great time. It was the Amber Blend 2. I was just loving. I thought that was fantastic.
I haven't actually tasted the 2 yet, but apparently
the 2 is, even better.
To go from we're splitting hairs, but to make it even better is...
It's almost got a bit more of like a Flanders thing going on. It's really tasty. And the gold was fantastic. And the table beer as well.
Well, maybe you can take the gold or the table beer.
Well, I was thinking of going going the table beer, actually.
Table beer is fantastic. Yeah. I love it.
But I won't. We'll keep that as you recommending Wildflower. And I'm going to recommend the other place I went to last Saturday. After I went to Wildflower, I went to Blackfont.
Oh, Blackfont.
Yeah. So, that was, which I think we've discussed on the podcast before, and maybe even some of us have recommended it, but, they've just opened back up, after being on hiatus for a while.
Yep. I think it's about 7 months. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was really
exciting. About the time it takes to procreate a baby, I think it is.
They just do some really, really great beer. It's a tiny space. I think it's only open on Saturdays or.
Yeah, I don't know the hours, but I remember, yeah.
And, I loved the oatmeal stout, they had, or was it an imperial oatmeal stout or something? There was something. It was like a big dark. It was yum. It was delicious. No, sorry. It was the oak aged Baltic porter. That's what it was. That's the one that really grabbed me. I love that. So. So now we got the non-beer recommendations. So this is the other stuff you've been enjoying outside of, booze.
And so we can't say sleep, is that one?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to.
No, sleep's definitely up there.
Yeah.
Not a lot of time at the moment anyway, to do too much stuff, but I managed to binge watch House of Cards the other day, or some of it.
The later season?
Yeah, the later season. I won't give away any spoilers, but the idea of creating chaos to create perfection is, I don't know, maybe it's, representative of what I do
along your lines, yeah.
Yeah, touchwood. Yeah.
I actually just finished rereading again Imbibe by David Wandrich, which is the history of the cocktail. So he looks at Jerry Thomas's book, which was the first book ever written of cocktails, and breaks down all the recipes and then kind of equates the old ingredients to new ingredients and then adjusts them for the modern palate. Super interesting history of cocktails and some really obscure cocktails. And you kind of look at some of these recipes and you're like, I can't believe they were drinking that 100 years ago. But super interesting book, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And my non-beer recommendation is the sticky lamb riblets from BL Burgers. That's become my go-to kind of like bar snack at Bitterfew. So,
and that meat just falls right off that bone, doesn't it?
It's just so good. And it's like, they're like, it's like eating wings, but it's just easier.
Without
right?
the hassle.
Yeah. Without the hassle.
Without,
yeah.
that, without that second bone.
Because you can get all the meat off just so easily. And it's just the yum. And it's a really nice, like, sticky kind of barbecue sauce with a bit, not just like sweet barbecue, but a bit of umami as well. Like, it's a good sauce.
No, solid. I agree. Awesome.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time out of your super busy schedule to sit down with me and talk about Bitterfew and Creek and Cellar and how everything's going. We'll probably sit down with you, what, next year when you got your next venue open?
Or? 4 years. We can do 4 years. The world last was 2 years, so we can just double that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, true. So in 2 years' time, when you've got two more venues, you can, yeah.
Might go on a holiday first.
Thank you very much, Aaron, and thank you very much, Ben.
Cheers for having us.
Cheers. Thanks for having us all. Cool.
Sessionable.
Thanks for listening to today's episode, which has been brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group. If you're strapped for time because you've been listening to this podcast for too long, they've got a great new thing they're calling the 2x2 Evening Tour. Two of Sydney's best breweries in 2 hours with loads of beer included and a pub meal at the end just to seal the deal. It's excellent value and doesn't take up a lot of your time, so get amongst it. Hit up daves.com.au. See you later.